Welcome and thanks for listening to this podcast by Christ United. For more information about our church, visit christislove.org.
Last week we talked about whether you were in your shadow mission or your true mission. This week I want to let you in on something, and that is that your mission and your occupation are two different things. The truth is, we're going to look at somebody this week who was actually in the most God-honoring, godly position he could possibly be. He was king over the nation of Israel. Out of all the world, the position, out of all positions in all the world at the time, that had the most opportunity for glorifying God, the most opportunity for being a help to other people, was king of Israel. He was in that role, and yet he slipped into his shadow mission and was living totally outside of God's mission for his life. Now, we also would encourage you to go back and read like Genesis 37 through 50 and read about a guy named Joseph who was not in a position that you would think would honor God in any way. He was actually a slave to a pagan officer who was officer to a pagan king. Everything he did was to accomplish the purposes of a pagan and wicked nation, and yet he was living in the center of his mission. And he was even in prison at one time. So imagine being imprisoned and thinking, I can't fulfill my mission. He was in the center of God's mission for his life. So we're going to get you to ask some questions that don't have anything to do with what your current occupation is or your current role of ministry in the church is. These have to do with where your heart is and what you are accomplishing in the position you're in. So first, my true mission lifts God up. It lifts him up. And you need to think about this with this guy who was king over Israel named Saul. Whenever he was first called to his mission, he was out chasing his father's donkeys. God got hold of him through the servant Samuel and said, you're going to be king. But the first thing he told him was going to happen when he was going to show him he was going to be king is he said, there's going to be a group of prophets coming down from having worshiped, and you're going to join them. They're going to be giving glory to God. You're going to join them. And so it says that when they arrived at Gibeah, a procession of prophets came to him, and the Spirit of God came upon him in power, and he joined in their prophesying. The first thing out the gate was, man, I am doing what I'm doing to bring glory to God. That was the first thing out the gate. But now, you're going to have an opportunity in whatever role you're in, wherever you are, whatever occupation you have opportunity to bring glory to God in your life. But your shadow mission is going to be about lifting you up. And that's what happened with Saul. As Saul, who was king, he had the opportunity to glorify God. Started out glorifying God, but then people began to give him accolades and everything else, and he began to feel the joy and the fun of how it feels to be lifted up. And then after one of his great victories that he had, or at least in his mind it was a great victory, really wasn't that great because he hadn't fulfilled God's purpose, but he was so full of himself that when Samuel went to look for him, it says this. They told him that Saul has gone up to Carmel, and there he has set up a monument in his own honor. And so what he had gone to is from being all about lifting God up to lifting myself up. There's a young man that I had a chance to meet who was back here, and he had started out just leading people to God in such a beautiful way. His name's Chris Sly. You may know of Chris. He was winner of American Idol. And I remember meeting Chris in the back, and I was kind of like, man, that dude seems to be full of himself. You know, I mean, he really did. He seems to be full of himself. And I was like, man, Chris is like off of his mission. You know what I'm saying? I mean, Chris is supposed to be lifting Jesus up, and he isn't lifting Jesus up at all, you know? And during his message, during his concert, I was kind of feeling the same. I was feeling all judgmental of Chris. And Chris sang this song, and I realized what he was actually doing in that back room when I was coming in there and expecting he was going to talk to me. He was busy doing something else. But what he was busy doing, there was a song that he sings that's one of the most beautiful songs that I've ever heard on this issue. But it's one called Empty Me. And he said that I've, you know, tasted enough of the spotlights, this you know, bright in the center of everything to know that that'll get into your blood. And in that song, he then says, and you know, I've tasted the sweet life and the, you know, all this like a wild ride that you're on when you're successful. And he said, and I've realized that a little is not enough and you're always wanting more. And then he says this powerful line in the song. He says, I know how I can stray, you know? I know how I can get off track. And then he says, and I know how quickly my heart can change. And so he says this, he says, empty me. God, I want you to empty me of all this selfishness. I want you to empty me of all this vain ambition and this poisonous pride in me. I want you to empty me of everything that my heart would have except for you. He says, empty me so that I can be filled with you. And now listen, guys, here's the thing. Is I realize that Chris, if you ever have a chance to just go onto YouTube and watch Chris sing that song, and you'll see his heart. His heart is, man, my heart is so prone toward being able to get caught up in me. But reality is that I need it to be about him and about lifting him up. So, hey, listen, the more successful you are in your true mission, the more opportunity we said last week that you're going to have to be caught up in your shadow mission. The more that you have success, the more it's going to be tempted to be about you. But man, the more that you just think about him and glorify him, I don't care what position you're in. I don't care if you ever get any accolades. You can bring him glory. I was in a hotel room this week, because we were up getting some training and some Bible software. And we were coming down into the lobby. It was a Hampton. And they have like that continental breakfast. Not continental. It was a full breakfast. It was awesome. But anyway, we came down to eat that breakfast. And as we were in that room getting ready to eat that breakfast, and I was there pretty early, so there weren't many other people in there, and I heard this voice from back in the kitchen. And I could hear worship music going on back there. And I could hear this voice, somebody singing. So I poked my head in the door. I said, what's that going on back there? You know? And so this lady began to talk to me. And y'all, her name is Chantel. And Chantel began to tell me about what Jesus had done in her life. And she said, I was back when I grew up kind of tough. And she said, I was in drugs. She said, God just lifted me up out of the muck and the mire and the mess in my life. And then as she's standing there, she says, she just started singing out this little song. And it was, this joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me. This joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me. And as she sang that song, I was like, man, hair started standing up on the back of my neck. And it was just beautiful. And what was sweet is she wasn't wanting anybody else to hear her sing but me. So she was just singing it real quiet over in the corner. And after she finished singing the song, people on the other side of the lobby started clapping for her. It was just awesome, man. And I was thinking, I just love, because she was living in her mission. I mean, her job is setting up food for breakfast for people staying at the Hampton. She isn't in some kind of glorious position. She isn't a minister of music somewhere. But what she is a servant of Jesus, bringing glory to God and fulfilling her mission right there in that place. Does that make sense to anybody? I'm going like, God, isn't that what you want to be? Don't you want to be that person? So I want to ask you to ask this question right now. Here's all you got to do to find out if you're in your real mission or your shadow mission. When you are doing something or after you've done it, are you thinking to yourself, man, I want to make Jesus look good. I want to lift God up. And if it's over and he's been lifted up, even if I've been laid low, it's great. But if what you're thinking about the whole time, when you're getting ready to do it, while you're doing it, or after you're doing it, is what did I look like? You can guess that you're in your shadow mission. Next, just this truth. My true mission is driven by what God thinks. And so this is what happened with Saul. If Saul, right when he first got called in, he's truly on his true mission. And so he heard what had happened. Y'all listen to this. It's a wild story. But there was a place that a town of the people of Israel, it's Jabesh, and it was under siege by the Ammonite king. And the Ammonite king was just wicked. His name was Nabash, I believe. It's like serpent, just an evil guy. And he had this Jabesh under siege. And the people of Jabesh, the men of Jabesh, said, you're stronger than us. You're better than us. We will surrender to you and we will be your slaves. Just don't wipe us out. And you know what his response was? Well, the only way I'll let you surrender to me instead of wiping you out is if you let me gouge out the eye of every single man. I'll gouge out the right eye of every single man, so I'll bring disgrace on your whole nation, then I'll let you surrender to me. Now, here's what happened. It's whenever, now that's a bully, right? Y'all ever gone to school with somebody like that? You know? It isn't enough that I'm just going to beat you. I'm going to humiliate you while I'm beating you, kind of thing. And so he's got that attitude, and it's wicked, it's evil. And so when Saul heard about it,
this is what happened to Saul. Saul had not, he had already been told he's going to be king, but he was still out just plowing with some oxen. But when he heard about it, that's when he found out what it is to live in his mission. It says this: the Spirit of God came powerfully upon him, and he burned with anger. Have you ever felt something come over you that wasn't just you, it was God? I mean, have you ever seen something, injustice or something wrong or something bad, and all of a sudden you feel like, I got in my heart what God's got in his heart. All of a sudden it's there. It's what God thinks right now that matters. And all of a sudden he realized God was calling him to rescue those people who were about to have their eyes gouged out. And now he had just been set up as king, and you know how politicians are. We want everybody to like us, right? And so he's going to get everybody on his team by getting them to like him. And here's what he did. He took those oxen, he cut them into pieces, and he sent them throughout the land and said, this is what will be done to the ox of anyone who does not follow Saul or Samuel. Doesn't sound like a popularity contest, does it? It's like, I'm going to do right now. What matters is, what does God think? What matters right now is, what should we be doing? And so he wasn't about what people think. He was about what God thinks. An army was mustered, and those people were delivered out of that process. But here's the truth. If you're in your real mission, what you care about is what God thinks. But if you're in your shadow mission, my shadow mission is driven by what people think. Right? And so later he got into his shadow mission. Because now he's had some success and people think well of him, and he wants people to continue to think well of him. And what people think has a lot of power. Is there anybody here besides me who has what people think weighs a lot? And especially if people like you, you want them to like you. You know what I'm saying? I mean, and you want them to keep liking you. If I'm popular, I want to stay popular. How many people in high school know what it's like? If I start feeling some popularity, I feel like I got to keep that thing going because it feels good to feel some popularity. And if I'm doing well in my job and I'm getting accolades in my job, I want to keep getting accolades. If I'm in church and people think I'm a great spiritual person, well, I want them to keep thinking that. I'm always wondering about what people think. And so that's what happened to Saul. As Saul was getting popular and he was liking the way people think about him. So then he started making decisions not on what God thinks, but on what the people think. And so even though he's trying to fulfill the mission of God, what he's really got rolling in his mind is, what are these people going to think? And so that causes him to make decisions that don't honor God. It causes him to think about what they think, so much so that he disobeys God and doesn't even realize it. If you get to thinking about what people think, you'll start making decisions based on what people think, and you'll be disobeying God and not even realize it, because everybody else thinks you're doing great. And that's the way it is with Saul. Everybody thought he was doing great, but he was thinking about what they thought instead of what God thought. And so when Samuel confronted him and said, you hadn't done what the Lord told you to do, he said, well, I was afraid of the people. The people, you know, they wanted. And so he was kind of wrestling with that. And finally he just fessed up. And here's what he said to Samuel. Saul replied, I have sinned. I'm wrong. And then listen to what he says next. But please honor me before the elders of my people and before Israel. His problem has been, I want people to like me. I want people to honor me. I want people, so I'm doing what it takes to get people to honor me. God says, you've sinned. He says, you're right. Now, honor me in the eyes of the people. And listen to how he wants to be honored in the eyes of the people. He says this, I want you to come back with me so that I may worship the Lord your God. Do you know that even his worship was so people could see him worship? And some of you do that. You can come in and just be right nasty to your family and all kinds of stuff, and you aren't even living according to the will of God, but you're worshiping, and everybody can hear you. You know what I'm saying? And everybody can see you. I want to be honored in the eyes of everybody because I want people to see how spiritual I am, right? And but here's the thing, is that that's where he was. He was just in a place where he cared so much about what people think. How many people, honest to God, here's a good way of knowing that you might be caring more about what people think than what God thinks. And that is, when you have sinned, you're more worried about what other people are going to think about your sin than what God thinks about your sin. I'm more afraid of being discovered by other people than I am of being discovered by God. Anybody have to acknowledge that one's true? It's like, God, when did I get so concerned about what other people think and so less concerned about what you think? How many people have ever been here? I'm confessing my sin. I'm asking God for forgiveness. But really what I want is to get it straight in the eyes of other people. I want them to know that I'm okay. I want them to know I'm spiritual again. You know? I want them to know that I'm a good person again. Let me ask you this one. This one might really help you. If you're thinking about, I just was on this few days with this young man that is going to be a phenomenal minister of God. He's a few years in now. He loves Jesus with all of his heart. And he was led into ministry because he heard things being taught that he knew were not biblical. And he was just rocked by that. And he said, I've got to follow the calling that God has to bring truth to people instead of this junk that I'm hearing being said. And I'm so proud of him. And then he was talking about how people, he wasn't bragging, but man, the church, you know, a church hired him even though he's much younger than people would normally hire somebody for that kind of position, and his church is growing, and people are loving him, and great things are happening. And so I began to pray for him. God, please don't let that do to him what it did to me and so many others, and that is that once people begin to like you, you're going like, and the people who liked him are very spiritual people. So if spiritual people like me, I want to keep people liking me. And pretty soon I start making decisions that compromise. I just got an easy pattern for you. Just ask this question. Whenever I think about a decision, do I ask myself what they will think or what God will think, regardless of who they are? When I'm making a decision, am I thinking more about what other people will think or am I thinking about what God will think? And listen to this. After you've done something and you've come out of having done it, whatever it is, in your job, in your neighborhood, in your club, in your sport, in your church ministry position, in your whatever it is that you do, after you're finished with it, are you more consumed by thinking, I wonder what they thought or I wonder what God thought? Does that make sense? If I'm thinking about what they thought, I'm in my shadow mission. If I'm thinking about what God thought, I'm probably in my true mission, correct? Now, next is this. My true mission is about us and creates unity. What's so cool is when Saul first started out, it was about us. It was about, I'm leading a nation of people, but it's about us as a nation. It's about God who's our God. In fact, after his first victory, the people were so psyched about him. They're saying, way to go, Saul, you're awesome. And then they said, here's what we're going to do, Saul. All the people who didn't think you should be their king, because there were some rabble-rousers who were saying, who's this guy to be our king? They said, we're going to take those people and put them to death. Because we see you're rocking and you're great, and so we're going to get rid of those people who are against you. And Saul's reply at that time in his life was to say this, no one will be put to death today, for this day the Lord has rescued Israel, all of us. And instead they had a party, and even the people who were against him were invited to the party. Does that make sense? Because when you're fulfilling God's mission, it doesn't matter what people think about me. What matters is what people think about God. And it doesn't matter what happens for me. What matters is what happens for us. Does that make sense? When you're fulfilling God's mission, it's going to be about us, and it's going to create unity, and it's going to be beautiful in that sense. But how many people know this to be true? My shadow mission is about me, and it breeds jealousy. My shadow mission is about me, and it breeds jealousy. I don't care what environment you're in. If you're in your shadow mission, you're thinking about you, and you get jealous of others in the process. That's how it was for Saul. By the time he got into his shadow mission, which was about him and him being lifted up, they had actually had this great victory over the Philistine army. Huge victory. They're on their way back into the town, and as they're coming into the town, all the women who weren't there fighting are lined up along the sides of the street, and they're chanting for the armies as they come back in. Now, a little back history to it, the reason the battle had been won was because of a young man named David, who later became the king of Israel. And David had killed this giant. Y'all remember that story? He killed the giant with the rock and the sling. You remember that? That was David. This young man had killed the giant. And because he killed the giant, the people were emboldened and they won this great victory. They're coming back into town and all the women are shouting, Saul has slain his thousands. And Saul's going like, that feels good. Man, they're honoring me. Saul has slain his thousands. But then they said, and David has slain his tens of thousands. And listen to what it says. It says, Saul was very angry. This refrain galled him. They have credited David with tens of thousands, he thought, but me with only thousands. You get the picture? It's like, when it's about you. Now, if he had been in his true mission, it would have been about us and about God, and God's being glorified, and we won. Let's celebrate. But when it's about you, what are you feeling? You're feeling jealousy over somebody else who's gotten a little more recognition than you have, and you begin to feel that tension. Anybody here ever feel that tension? At your job, you're jealous of the person who's getting more accolades from the boss than you are. Maybe with your kids, your true mission is to raise your kid up to honor God. But then You get all wrapped up in you and what my kid's doing is my kid succeeding. And then you hear about another kid doing well, and you're feeling like so kind of jealous of the fact that somebody else's kid is doing better than your kid. As a matter of fact, secretly, you would rejoice if they messed up. Because in your heart, what it's about is it's about me. And when it's about me, it breeds jealousy. Now, I don't know if anybody can identify with that, but just it says from that time on that Saul kept a jealous eye on David. Have you got a jealous eye somewhere? Or are you just like, man, I recognize that I'm in a shadow mission because it is about me, and I feel jealousy. I feel jealousy in my work environment, in the church environment. I feel jealousy. I feel jealousy in my relational environment. I feel jealousy because it's about me. I want to ask you if you could do this. I will return to and stay on my true mission by seeking His will and His glory and nothing else. I'll return to my true mission and stay on it by seeking His will and His glory and nothing else. God, the one thing I'm going to be thinking about as I'm doing anything is not what do people think of me. It's going to be about what do people think of you. I want to know what people think of you. That's what I want. When this is over, I want you to be exalted. And God, when I'm making a decision, I'm going to make it based on what you think, your will, you think, that's all. Not on what other people think. I'm going to think on what you think. And that's going to be my driving force. And God, I want you to know that this is about us. You said that whatever I do for your mission is going to be for your glory and the good of others. And so this is about us. It's not about me. And so, God, I'm going to ask you that every decision I make, that I have us in mind. That I don't have that selfish attitude of what it is for me. God, I'm going to return to my mission and stay on it by seeking your will, your glory, nothing else. Here's what Samuel said to Saul when he said, Saul, you're finished, man, because you've been on your shadow mission and God's got to get you out of the way because you're on your shadow mission and not on your true mission. And as he said that, he said this, the Lord has sought out a man after his own heart. Now in the book of Acts, that's a little further explained when it says, the Lord said, I found David, son of Jesse, this young man who's going to be king behind Saul, to be a man after my own heart. He'll do everything I want him to do. And here's the one thing that people agree about. People disagree about the meaning of the statement in many ways, but one thing seems to be at the core, and that is this. God selected him not because he was perfect. God selected him not because he wasn't ever going to mess up, which he messed up bad. But he selected him for one thing, is David seemed to be bent his whole life long on God. On God, his will, his glory, nothing else. God, his will, his glory, nothing else. Lord God, we just ask that you would move now during this next worship song. We pray in the name of Jesus that you'd do some business in this place. For every one of us who have to acknowledge that we've been on our shadow mission, that it's been about lifting us up and not you up, it's been about what people think and not about what you think. And Lord God, it's been about us and it's created bred jealousy in us. And Lord God, we're ready to make it about you and what you think and about us serving your people the way you called us to. So that you'll be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. If you would stand, I want to invite you. Maybe you're feeling a little prompting in your heart. Listen, this is so important. Next week's going to blow your mind. Next week is going to be so good because you're going to find your true mission next week. Beyond a shadow of a doubt, you'll leave here knowing your true mission. But right now, we're still dealing with shadow mission. If there's anybody in here that God prompted, clicked in your heart and said somewhere, man, you're on your shadow mission because it's about your glory. It's about what people think. It's about you. If that's the case, then we invite you as to join me, because I'm coming down here. We invite you to come to this altar and come before God and say, God, from this day forward, your will, your glory, nothing else.
Thanks again for listening to this podcast by Christ United. For more information, visit us at christislove.org.